It's MFD Spring Break Spectacular 2025. I'm Dave Holmes, and this is the globally famous Max Fun Drive, the one time of year when we ask for your support to become a new or upgrading member, which you can do right now at MaximumFun.org/join. This is the biggest MFD Spring Break in the network's history, and it's going to be wet, wild, and retro.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
This MFD Spring Break, we're paying tribute to the 90s, celebrating the decade's music, movies, and pop culture as only Max Fun can do.
But now you know there was a man named Jack Dawson and that he saved me in every way that a person can be saved.
Our first stop is Basel, Switzerland, where this year's Eurovision Song Contest will take place. I hear very faintly somebody say, "What's Eurovision?" I have the Eurovangelist hosts here to explain it to you. Dimitri, we'll start with you.
The short version is Europe's competing nations all pick a song and an artist. They send it to the host city, and they all compete in an amazing showdown to find out what's the best song in Europe that year.
Oh, yeah. Oscar, anything to add?
It's the gay Super Bowl.
It is.
It's just a bunch of spectacle, a bunch of lights, a bunch of good times.
Oscar, thank you for pointing out that it is lit. They don't have it in the dark like some song contests do. Jeremy?
My standard line for describing what Eurovision is that it is Street Fighter, but with music.
There you go. Now, I found out the three of you were going to host the world's largest dance party at the Dance Pavilion, sponsored by Dunkaroos and Hollister. So I was a little jealous. But then I realized I could fly over, I could attend this dance party, and you guys have all the pressure of organizing it. So we are about 10 minutes from the start of your dance party before you take the stage as a three-headed DJ. Can you give us a little preview of the spring break appropriate Eurovision songs that you have selected to play and why?
It's a shame people can't see the three-headed DJ costume.
Yeah, cool.
I should let our Eurovision experts take the stage first.
Let's kick it off the right way as we stand next to the River Rhine. I think there's no better song for your Eurovision spring break playlist than, of course, Greece 2001 with Die For You by Antique. We have future Eurovision winner Elena Paparizou performing with a dear friend, a wonderful early 2000s dance bop that's all about the devotion to your loved one, even until the point of death.
That is an excellent leadoff clip, Dimitri. Who's got next?
Listen, when I think about spring break, I think about MTV Spring Break. I think
heard of it.
People in scantily clad bathing suits in Cancun sort of partying. And I kind of want to go back to that mid-90s kind of vibe with a song that kind of hit in the U.S., but no one really knows that it's a Eurovision song. I'm picking Ooh Ah, Just a Little Bit from the U.K., 1996, by the one, the only, Gina G. Feelings are right. It's great. You can grind up on somebody in a consensual way. The vibes are correct.
Love that. And it's one of those rare Eurovision songs that crossed over. Now, it only crossed over so far as the gay clubs of 1996 and 1997. It didn't get too much further than that. But that's enough.
Counts.
But as we know, the gay clubs in the 90s set the culture for the
that's
rest
very
of
true.
Us.
So
when it was cool with the gays, it was cool with everybody.
Now, speaking of cool with the gays, you need a song that's going to get everybody on the dance floor moving and, like, just going crazy. And so I need to celebrate perhaps the greatest drag performer in Eurovision history. Mm-hmm. I'm talking Ukraine's 2007 Verka Serduchka with their song Dancing Lasha Tumbai. If this does not get your party going, like, I don't know what to tell you.
The party's dead.
This came in second place, and it's also a great anti-Russia imperialism song, so we love that as well.
In your face, Putin.
Never more topical than right now. I would like to slide one in, if I could.
Dave, of course.
You're your evangelist, too.
Who knows spring break better than Dave Holmes?
Well, that's very true. There is a song from, I believe the year was 1973. It's a Eurovision winner, and it really encapsulates what the whole thing is.
It was 1975.
It was in 1975. Do you know what I'm going to say?
I'm assuming you're going to go with Ding a Dong.
You know that's right. 1975 from...
That Netherlands. Was the Netherlands.
Netherlands. And I know the line is a big hit, but it really sounds like Ding a Dong. Listen to it. Maybe it's a bigot. Even when your lover is gone. But I love it. It makes no sense, and it's so 1973 or 5. It's everything.
I prefer maybe it's a bigot. That's funnier to me.
Honestly, it's something we're all saying to ourselves when we meet someone new. Ugh, maybe it's a bigot.
It's happening a lot these days.
It is happening a lot these days. Okay, I'm seeing the stage manager trying to get your attention, which means we are almost out of time. So let's jump ahead to your crescendo songs. What are your closing bangers, Jeremy?
Boy, okay. I am the resident rock fan at Eurovision, and obviously pop and rock have a symbiosis that it goes back many, many decades. But never has it been more truly expressed at Eurovision than in 2006 with Lordi's Hard Rock Hallelujah. Just imagining hitting a high right when Hard Rock Hallelujah drops in, I don't know, feels pretty good to me.
I like it. Oscar?
Great pick. Okay, this is going to be a controversial one because this one was just released. And
okay, I know what this is.
It's the song that I keep coming back to. If you want people to dance, the crescendo is happening. And you want people to get horny and laugh a little, giggle it a little bit. I'm going for the Malta entry of this year's Eurovision 2025. I'm talking
so
about
I'm pulling the
Mariana Conte Kant, spelled K-A-N-T, which is Maltese for saying.
Singing. She's serving singing.
But she does, the chorus does go like this. Do, re, mi, fa, so, so, s-. And it is...
She's serving singing.
But she's also serving.
Wow.
If that isn't a song to get people up, that is going to do it for me.
Okay. Go on, Malta.
Absolutely.
Dimitri?
Look, like you said, our excitement is peaked. Our hearts are beating like a drum. In fact, there's a Eurovision song that... talks about your heart beating like a drum when you're dancing out partying with the one you love. I'm talking about Turkey 2009 Doom Tek Tek.
Can you feel the rhythm in my heart? The beat's going Doom Tek Tek. Always out of life, there's no limit. Feels like there's no way back.
I love that song.
Doom Tek Tek.
Of course.
You end your playlist with Doom Tek Tek, everyone's walking out happy.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I need this playlist in my life right now.
Good news, we got it waiting for you on Spotify. We'll put it in the show notes.
Love it.
Dave, you only got one. Why don't you end us, Dave? You finish out the playlist.
I unabashedly love, and I don't remember the year, but I know it was Sweden, Måns Zelmerlöw's Heroes.
Heroes.
When I'm out running and my energy begins to flag a little bit, guess what puts the wind back in my sails? Months. All right, you guys, thank you so much for doing this. I got to hop back on the Concorde and head back to South Padre Island. Thank you very much for taking the time to chat with me right before the biggest event of your careers.
Oh, yeah, we got to get into our three-headed DJ costume.
Oh, yes.
Yep, you got to do it right now. Coming up, we'll check in with Hal Lublin, who's hanging out at the 90s Pop Culture Appreciation Cabana.
Pele speaks righteous. Sister Zena says funky. How bizarre. How bizarre. How bizarre.
But first, it's show versus show versus show versus show. As Go Fact Yourselves, J. Keith Van Stratton hosts an epic trivia showdown with Secretly Incredibly Fascinating's Alex Schmidt, Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries' Brenda Snell, Let's Learn Everything's Tom Lum, and from Just the Zoo of Us, Ellen Weatherford.
All right, the person who gets the most questions correct will have gotten the most questions correct. Here's how it's going to work. I'm going to ask you a question. If you know the answer, say the first word in your show name, and the first one to call out can guess first. Please wait for me to call on you, and let's practice our buzz-in words. Ellen, what's your buzz-in word?
Just.
Alex?
I'm going to go with sif, because it's fast. Sif.
Brenda?
Secret.
And Tom?
Let's.
All right, here is your first question. Here we go. The X-Men belong to a long line of fantastic characters which started with the Human Torch in 1939 from Timely Publications. Timely's name changed to Atlas Comics in the 1950s, and it changed to what name in 1961?
Secret.
Let's.
Secret, I heard first.
Marvel.
Marvel is correct, and Secret is on the board. Very nice job, Brenda. Here is your next question. Cheers has one of television's most memorable theme songs, written by Gary Portnoy and Judy Hart Angelo. Although it's known as the theme from Cheers, what is the actual title of the theme song?
Secret?
Secret.
Is it called Where Everybody Knows Your Name, or no?
This is the part where you answer instead of ask, so if you were to phrase that as an answer...
Is it not Jeopardy rules?
No, not Jeopardy rules.
Oh, let's be confident then. Is it... Where Everybody Knows Your Name?
It is Where Everybody Knows Your Name. Secret running away with it so far. 2-0. Let's see if the others can get on the board. Oh, who here loves sports? That's what I thought.
I'm wearing a baseball hat.
You are? Okay. On March 10th, 1955, the Zamboni made its debut in what professional sports league?
Let's,
I heard first.
The NHL.
That is correct. Tom and Let's Learn Everything are on the board. The National Hockey League. Fun fact, Zamboni is a registered trademark of the Zamboni company, and they are very protective of their trademark. Here's your next one. The movie Kill Bill Volume 1 opens with the quote, "Revenge is a dish best served cold," which is credited to a proverb of what species of Star Trek aliens?
Just.
Secret?
Just, I heard.
Klingon.
Klingon is correct, and I can't believe we had that much of a delay regarding a Star Trek question.
There's a lot of Star Trek aliens, okay?
Yeah.
There are.
It loops back around. If you know too much, then you're like, well, it could be from this one episode.
Exactly. I was in a mind palace about the Tholians. I was like lost somewhere. Yeah.
All right, here we go with our next question. We've got a game going now. As shown in the musical, Alexander Hamilton was the United States' first secretary of what? I think that was Alex, yes?
The Treasury?
That is correct. $10 founding father, Secretary of Treasury. Treasury or state? Treasury or state? Treasury. All right, here's your next question. According to one of TV's Twilight Zone's openings, you're traveling through another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of what?
Secret?
Secret.
I literally just listened to this, but of mind? Mine. That is my answer.
That is your answer. The confidence is growing, and with good reason. That is correct. Sight and sound of mine.
There's literally like that in like what I'm doing for this week's episode of the podcast. I literally just watched that opening.
Was that a coincidence, or did we conspire to help you get that answer correct?
This goes all the way to the top.
Oh my god!
It's like a Twilight Zone episode.
Here's your next question. Tom Lehrer noted for his song on the Electric Company, there's a certain magic letter that can turn a can into a cane, turn a pan into a pain, and make a little hug become huge instantly if you just add what quiet vowel?
Just.
I heard just first.
E.
More specific, please.
Silent E.
Silent E is the answer we were looking for. That is the wonderful song with wonderful animation by the wonderful Tom Lehrer. What is the proper term for the motion cats make by rhythmically alternating their paws, pushing in and out against a pliable object?
Just. Kneading?
Kneading is correct, yes. Kneading, otherwise known as making biscuits, which I
making
think Brenda
biscuits,
was about
yeah.
to say, yes. It's one of my favorite cute things that kitties do.
I like that it's still a baking term. I thought it was going to be much more scientific or ology or something.
All right, let's move on to our next question. This one has to do with Canada and food. In the early part of the 2000s, thieves stole 3,000 tons of what Canadian foodstuff valued at $18.7 million? Of course, that's Canadian dollars.
Oh, Canadian dollars. Never mind. maple syrup?
Maple syrup is correct. That's right. 3,000 tons of maple syrup. Fun fact, Canada has a cartel that controls over 70% of the world's supply of maple syrup. But I know a guy if you want to taste.
Good stuff.
He makes blue maple syrup.
Yeah, that's right. It's pure. It's so pure. All right, here's our next question. Anxiety over World War II breaking out in Europe led some handbags to be designed with a stylish compartment to hold what life-saving device?
Just. A knife.
A knife, incorrect, but that definitely is handy in New York.
Sif. Bigger knife. No,
that's right. They would say, now that's a knife.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Any other guesses?
Let's. A gas mask?
Gas mask? That's ridiculous and correct.
Oh,
nice.
That's right.
It seems the gas mask is mightier than the knife.
I love playing rock, paper, gas mask. Yes. That's right. Respirators or gas masks were part of a line of luxury handbags that were designed and sold around World War II in Europe.
The Chanel gas mask? Yeah, I am.
Who are you wearing? All right, let's move on. Here's some questions about improv comedy. He was an acclaimed writer, director, producer, and actor. She is an acclaimed writer, director, producer, and actor. And together, they're probably the greatest improv duo of all time, whose comedy records made the pop music charts and won them a Grammy. Who are they?
Sif. Nichols and May?
That is correct. Yes, we also would have accepted May and Nichols. Yes, Nichols and May, of course, is correct. The Grammy-winning comedy duo. Any fans of Breaking Bad here? Well, let's see how you do anyway on this.
I made that reference about the blue thing.
Oh, you did? So, Tom, pressure's
on. Fake fan.
Big fake fan. Well, there are some rabid fans of Breaking Bad, some of whom like to visit the actual filming locations of the show in Albuquerque and recreate some of the show's iconic moments. This led show creator Vince Gilligan to beg fans to stop going to the actual house used as Walter White's home and throwing what large circular food on the roof? Let's, I think you were in first.
Yeah, you were first.
I was going to buzz in the moment you said house. I knew what this was going to be. This is throwing pizzas on the roof.
That is correct. Yes.
Scene where he does that.
Exactly. Yes. Please do not throw pizzas on the roof. Please bring them to my doorstep. All right. Another TV question. While the TV show Roseanne gained acclaim for its depiction of a working class family, season 9 of the show depicted the same family as incredibly wealthy. How did the family come upon this sudden fortune?
Secret. Roseanne won the lottery.
That is correct. Yes, you won the question and Roseanne won the lottery. Hey, let's get a score update as we head into the final tranche of questions. We've got Alex with 2, we've got Ellen with 3, and we've got a tie at the top, Brenda and Tom with 4. A very close game. Anybody could win, but we probably know it's not going to be one of these people. All right, here we go with our next question. I didn't say the name, but you
still directed at me, and I'm okay with it.
No, that's
a nice.
No, again, the stakes could not be lower. Much of the film Ed Wood involves the making of what critics Michael and Harry Medved would later call the worst film ever made. What sci-fi film featuring Criswell, Vampira, and Bela Lugosi do we get to see come to life?
Sif. Is this one Plan 9 from Outer Space?
It is Plan 9 from Outer Space. Very nice. Very nice job. The musical Les Misérables is based on the novel Les Misérables, published in 1862. Who is the author of that novel?
Secret. It is, oh my gosh, I blanked on it. I relent.
Ellen, you were the next one in.
Hugo.
Victor Hugo is correct. In the season 3 episode of The Brady Bunch's Her Sister's Shadow, Jan complains about not getting the kind of attention one of her siblings gets. In doing so, what name does Jan memorably repeat 3 times?
Sif. Marsha.
That is correct.
What? I think it was Bloody Mary. I was like, a name 3 times. So I was like, clearly.
When he said that, then she cheered.
Oh God, Marcia. Oh no. I'm falling down the stairs. She pushed me downstairs.
As long as you don't say Beetlejuice or Candyman, I think we're okay. Right. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, we are all tied up at 4. All tied up. Everybody is currently in the lead.
Oh, my God.
It's wild. And it is going to come down to this one last question. In Ontario, Canada, more than 75% of milk is sold in what type of
Secret.
Container? Secret.
Bags.
Bags is correct. Congratulations, Brenda.
We've got a topic on this on our podcast.
I didn't know. I was a coincidence. Congratulations, Brenda.
Good job, Brenda.
Winner.
Good job, Brenda.
Of this very important, very exciting trivia showdown. Congratulations. Well, hey, everybody, I want to thank you, Tom Lum, Ellen Weatherford, Brenda Snell, and Alex Schmidt. Now, where can listeners who aren't here with us at the Long Beach Convention Center Promenade Meeting Room find you? Ellen, why don't you go ahead and tell us?
Just the Zoo of Us on Maximum Fun, wherever you get podcasts.
And Alex?
Yeah, Secretly Incredibly Fascinating. If you search Secretly in a podcast app, it's the red one.
And Tom?
Where Let's Learn Everything. We did a topic about bagged milk with a Canadian, if you want to learn some more about that.
Amazing. And Brenda?
You find me at Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries on Maximum Fun.
Excellent. And I'm J.K. Van Stratton from Go Fact Yourself here at Maximum Fun. Hey, thanks so much for everybody who supports us in the Max Fun Drive. You can go to MaximumFun.org/join. All right, don't go anywhere, listeners. There's more show right after this.
We got to go to break, but when I come back, I will sit down for an exclusive interview with Auburn College student and guy who died, Thatcher Sawyer.
I was pronounced legally dead, and I saw heaven itself.
But first, here's Mike Cabalon on stage at the 90s Pop Culture Appreciation Cabana, appreciating Four Non-Blondes What's Up.
So I cry sometimes when I'm lying in bed, just to get it all out, you know, what's in my head. And I am feeling a little peculiar. And so I wake in the morning and I step outside and I take a deep breath and I get real high and I scream from the top of my lungs, what's going on?
Mike Cabalon, everybody.
If you're like me, you don't have enough vintage leather jackets. That's why we created the Vintage Leather Jacket Club.
The Vintage Leather Jacket Club!
For just $1, we'll send you a different vintage leather jacket every month. If you like it, it's just $300 plus shipping. Or if you don't like it, fax us and we'll take it back. Restrictions apply.
Some restrictions apply!
Whether you want to look like Al Pacino in the movie Cruising, or Al Pacino in Carlito's Way, or Al Pacino in Serpico, or another Al Pacino movie you probably didn't see, we've got just the jacket for you, and even Ray Liotta Goodfellas type stuff. Choose from our popular styles, like the Weird Dead Uncle, the Strange Man in a Van, and of course, the James Woods.
Hurry, I'm gonna be late tonight, 'cause I'm cooking coke in 1973.
And you can't look like you're hiding in the bushes if the shoes don't match the jacket. Act now and you can join the Vintage Old Shoe Club for free. What guy doesn't love old leather shoes?
Every guy needs a pair of old shoes that look like they belong to your dad.
We know you're not going for that new fake look. You're looking for that old, I rode my motorcycle from prison look. Shoes that look like Charlie Chaplin might have given them to you. Shoes that make you look like you have both style and the genetic resistance to foot pain. Leather shoes with leather soles so old and hard, walking sounds like you're doing live Foley work at a silent movie theater. Shoes that make people think wherever that guy's headed, I hope it's really close.
Honey, I'm gonna be late tonight. I'm building a railroad with my grandpa.
And act now and you can join the Vintage Old Plaid Shirt Club.
Join the plaid shirt club.
Same buy it or send it back deal.
The old plaid shirt club.
For $1, we will send you a different black and red plaid shirt every month. We know it's hard to know what shirt to wear, so why not wear almost pajamas? I button this up for business, but the business is eating pancakes and building log cabins.
Every guy deserves to dress like a lumberjack who moonlights a guitar center.
Call the Old Stuff Club now at 1-800-555-STUFF.
MFD Spring Break 2025. We are in the Fruitopia one-on-one interview lounge. I am Dave Holmes, with a young man who's down here all the way from Auburn University. He's a little bit of a spring break celebrity. Please welcome Thatcher Sawyer. Hi, Thatcher.
Oh, Dave, it's great to be here. I can't wait to share my story with everybody.
We can't wait to be shared in that story.
Yeah, go Thatcher. Sandpipers. Go Sandpipers. We're the number one school in rowing, lacrosse, and shorts.
Yeah, and an excellent pair of shorts on you right now, Thatcher. Madras never looked so good. So you had a bit of an interesting experience at spring break last year. Why don't you tell us about it?
Well, Dave, during spring break last year, I legally died.
Thatcher.
I was pronounced legally dead, and I saw heaven itself.
Okay, back me up a few steps, Thatcher. What happened? What were the circumstances of your spring break death?
I was a tragic victim of mixing. Obviously, I know this now, but like I just want to say to all the young people out there, if you're partying, if you're throwing down, just watch for mixing, because I unfortunately mixed tequila, Celsius, and being on a balcony that collapsed.
Wow. Oh, that's a difficult combination.
Because of that, I was legally dead for 14 minutes, but was brought back to life by heroic EMTs. They're the real heroes. But, you know, in the time that I was gone, I was fortunate enough to see heaven, to see the other side, and to see what awaits us, you know, after the party's over.
I have so many questions about the afterlife. I'm just going to start. What does it smell like?
Oh, I mean, it's just got this wonderful smoky smell, right? Like a smoky sulfur charcoal. Like, you ever like catch your flesh on fire? You ever like catch your hair or flesh on fire? Like maybe you fall in a bonfire, you get too drunk at a bonfire.
Yeah.
So it smells a little bit like when human flesh burns.
Right.
Just like gorgeous smells in heaven.
Wow. Oh God. Yeah. So like a little bit like a fire pit or a Korean barbecue, but human flesh.
Yeah, human flesh, exactly. It's kind of got a stench, a kind of a reek, you know, but like, right. You know, I was into it.
The music playing in heaven, is it what you're listening to when you die? Or is there special heaven afterlife music?
You know, I assumed I would be up there jamming with the greats. I play a little guitar, Dave. Do you know that? I play a little guitar.
I didn't know that, but I did assume.
People love it when they're at a party with me and I break out the acoustic and I throw down a little Buffalo Soldier.
Oh, I love that.
No matter what's playing on the stereo, it's a song of revolution, Dave.
And it speaks so directly to your own personal experiences.
Exactly. I've had a lot of hardship. You know, Bob Marley, he gets me. Anyway, what I was assuming was that I would be in heaven jamming with Hendrix, Bob Marley, the one guy from Dave Matthews Band that died. I didn't really see many, many musicians. There was this really cool guy, though, Genghis Khan.
Oh, I've heard that name. Is he on Survivor or Big Brother?
No, I think he was like a leader or something.
Okay.
Not a history guy. I'm more of just like a school of life kind of guy.
Yeah.
He's great with percussion, and he had this friend there, Vlad the Impaler.
Uh-huh. Is he a TikToker? He's a TikToker.
Maybe he might be a TikToker. I have like a different TikTok algorithm than most people. I'm on Crosstalk, which is like CrossFit and talking over each other.
Right.
That's my TikTok algorithm. But this guy was really cool. And, you know, we had a little drum circle and it was like just really cool and like expressive and spiritual.
It was kind of right up your alley, the afterlife.
Oh, yeah.
But something pulled you back. I'm just curious what that was.
Yeah, you know, I think I just realized that I had a lot of unfinished business to take care of here on Earth. Of course, I have my great girlfriend, Kendra, and she and I were supposed to go to a wedding, so I didn't want to, like, miss out on that. It was her cousin, who's really cool, who's kind of like a cousin to me in many ways. I have a lot of great ideas for apps, so I think I, like, wanted to make sure that, like, I get some of these apps off the ground. And of course, Dave Matthews Band is touring in the fall, so I just wanted to come back for that.
And now, this is so exciting. Maximum Fun and Miramax together are getting into the film business, and our first film is a dramatization of your story.
Yeah, it was just like really exciting. Of course, like my uncle's an executive at Miramax, so he like fast-tracked it. Just a really, really good script from Diablo Cody. She was fun to work with. She really responded well to my many notes. Yeah, I think I'm just like really excited to like finally see myself up on screen, you know? Representation is so important, and I think I'm just like excited to finally tell the story of a straight white guy that died, and hopefully others can be inspired by my journey.
And Thatcher, you brought a scene? Can you set it up for us?
Yeah, this is the pivotal scene where the heroic EMTs bring me back from heaven.
Can you just tell me if my boyfriend is even alive?
I'm doing compressions. Come on, dude. Take a breath. Think about the memes that you might go on to send to your friends and family. Look at those Madras slacks. I see his eyes fluttering. There's life in those eyes. Yeah, man.
Incredible. Thatcher Sawyer's Oops, I Fell and Died comes out this May. Cannot wait. Everybody go see it. What are Clint and Justin McElroy up to in Daytona Beach?
Be positive that it won't hurt.
Right. And give me your blood.
Still ahead, the segment MFD's lawyers don't want us to do. It's going to be wild.
I love watching wrestling and talking about wrestling and interviewing wrestlers. It's pretty cool. You know I'm able to do all these incredible things? Because a friend didn't let me mix tequila and Celsius and step out onto a wobbly balcony in South Beach. Friends don't let other friends mix on balconies.
Hey there, I am Dave Holmes, and you are experiencing the MFD 2025 Spring Break Spectacular.
Yeah, Tommy!
I'm at the Fruit by the Foot Party Animal Pavilion in South Padre Island, where hundreds of party animals have been competing all day long for our first annual Golden Chalice Trophy. And you can hear just how wild it is.
Mix it.
We're down to our final contestants, and the winner today will be going home with this rad golden chalice filled with the party animal's favorite snack. So without further ado, let's say bonjour to our remaining handlers. From Dr. Game Show, Manolo Moreno, your evangelists, Jeremy Bent, Let's Learn Everything's Tom Lum, and from Just the Zoo of Us, Ellen Weatherford. First up, Manolo Moreno. Now your buddy here is really going to town on those bagel bites, proving the adage that when pizza's on a bagel, you can have pizza anytime. Who's your friend here?
I brought a party pig. His name is Pigachad. Here he is right now.
There he is. Now what's his name again?
Pigachad. He just said that he was annoyed by the flight because people kept telling him to go under the seat. He said he wanted to fly the plane.
Wow, you know what? We could do a lot worse these days. I understand you actually speak pig. That's impressive.
Yeah, I mostly understand it. I'm too embarrassed.
You don't speak it. You do.
I interpret.
You comprehend and read it.
You mostly know, like, where's the bathroom, stuff like that.
Yeah, sure. Which is weird because my pig likes traveling. Yeah, he likes traveling. He's just came back from France, and he learned some French. If you want to hear what he said.
Le.
And yeah, that does mean, where is the bathroom?
He is multilingual. So when did you realize, Manolo, that Pigachad liked to party?
I heard him down the street at his those party houses. He likes singing this song. And that's when I knew.
Jeremy Bent, who you got with you? And why do they like to party?
These are bonobos, Dave. Bonobos. Yeah,
okay.
Our closest non-human relative, but also animals known to party.
Wow, what do you mean by that?
Okay, so these animals—they're very close to humans. They're a fellow primate. They're one of two animals within the chimp family, because bonobos are a type of chimp. But they are the only animal that exhibits a similar behavior to us humans. They tongue kiss just like we do. So these animals like to get down.
Yeah. Jeremy, what are your bonobos named?
When I first met them, they told me their names are Manny and Tess.
Manny and Tess. So when did you realize that your bonobos like to throw down?
Well, you know, once you see, a big community of bonobos in action, you realize that, like, oh, they like to get it on. They have sex for pleasure. They do it frequently. They do it with multiple partners. But they also are known to have long friendships and lengthy relationships as well. They're just like a good time gang, bonobos.
All right.
Yeah.
You seem like you actually did some work and research, Jeremy Benton. I'm taken by surprise. Tom Lum, who you got with you?
Well, I thought one of the most and underrated factors of a party animal is a chill hang. And so I brought perhaps the most chillest hanger in the world, the sloth, as my party animal.
Oh, sure.
Wow.
People don't often know they're nocturnal, so they'll be up all night. They are literally cold-blooded, and their temperature will change up to 20 degrees Fahrenheit within a single day because they don't care. They'll just, hey, you know what? I'll rock with whatever we're rocking with.
That's so important to the art of partying is resilience. Mm-hmm. Tom Lum, does your sloth have a name?
Also Pigachad, weirdly.
Mm. One of you's got to be like Pigachad A, and one of you has to be like Pigachad S.
Yeah, like on The Bachelor. Finally, Ellen Weatherford, who's with you, and why do they like to party?
Well, I've brought only 200 to 300 of my closest friends. I've brought a colony of Western honeybees, Apis mellifera. So, you know, I feel like there's no bigger bummer than getting to a party and realizing that it's like all dudes. So I figured I would bring, you know, a few hundred females because in a honeybee colony, the only males are a few sort of like, they're basically just there for reproduction occasionally, and everyone else is all females. So I brought some literal fly honeys.
Honeys. Now talk to me about their partying strategies and likes and dislikes.
They are extremely social. They bring snacks to the party. When they collect pollen, they, you know, attach pollen to their body and then they process it into something called bee bread. So they are bringing snacks to share. They also communicate with dance moves, which I feel like there's nothing more party than that.
So true. We will be back later this hour from the Fruit by the Foot Party Pavilion to see which of these competitors will go home with the golden chalice. While we take a break, our judges, Lori Petty, Gerardo, and the guy who plays the guitar player in California Dreams, the show that is like Saved by the Bell, but it's banned instead of high school. They will review our contestants and come to a decision. Stick around for more MFD Spring Break.
Have you experienced trouble breathing, throbbing pain, paralysis, and severe tissue damage due to a bite by someone else's cobra? Has being slapped and/or hurled in the air by an unsecured elephant caused you undue hardship? Did you die for 14 minutes because of a building code violation? Hi, I'm Sweet John, personal injury lawyer. If you think life would be easier with millions of dollars in your bank account and feeling back in your extremities, you're right. I've won hundreds of negligence lawsuits and gotten my clients huge payouts. Clients like Cindy Newberry, $80,000 for a botched manicure on her wedding day. Or Jeff Ziplick, awarded $2 million after a nasty fall in a home he was robbing. If something bad happened to you, even if it was your fault, you deserve compensation. I'm Sweet John, and I body slam insurance companies. Call my office today for a free consultation. 1-800-PAIN-FREE. That's 1-800-PAIN-FREE, but ignore the second E. So it's 1-800-724 and then just 6373. Do not dial 63733. It will not work. Call now.
Well, our judges have rendered a verdict. I'll go through one by one. Pigachad the sloth. Oh. Your resilience made my insides bounce for joy. But your internal cooling left me cold. I'm sorry, my dear, but you are eliminated. Manny and Tess, the bonobos, your level of affection made me warm inside. But overall, I found your appearance to be pants. That means we are down to two competitors. P- Pig-a-Chad the pig and a big swarm of honeybees. Congratulations, Manolo. You win the Fruit Gusher's Golden Chalice.
Wow.
So, what would Pig-a-Chad like to fill it with?
More beer.
More beer. Boy, this guy likes to party. Ellen, you were so close, and yet, so far, do you think you'll try again next year?
Yeah, for sure. The colony's always here. It keeps, the colony never goes away. This colony will never collapse, baby.
Stick around for more MFD Spring Break. Welcome back to MFD Spring Break. We're channeling the 90s, and I've asked a few of this network's greatest movie minds to compile a list of the decade's most iconic films. We are in the Orville Redenbacher Extreme Amounts of Movie Theater Butter Microwave Popcorn Screening Room for Maximum Film. It's Drea Clark and Alonzo Giraldi. Welcome.
Hello.
Hooty hoo.
How are you? How's your spring break?
This is my first real spring break. So it's a rum spring of energy for me. I'm very excited to be here.
She's already had her hair braided.
Mm-hmm.
And you are actually holding a bottle of Malibu rum in your hands.
Yeah.
It's a sponsored rum springa.
No.
It's a spiced rum springa. Welcome to the both of you. And welcome also from the Flophouse, Dan McCoy. Hello, welcome, Dan.
Hello.
Drea, Alonzo, and Dan are compiling a list of their picks for the most culturally impactful movies of the 90s. Let's get started. Alonzo?
Well, I mean, 1999 obviously is quite rightly pointed at as a movie, as a year that really like changed film a lot and threw a lot of, you know, kind of wrenches in the system of big studio filmmaking, and you had a lot of indie auteurs making these big breakthroughs and going wild. So I'm going to make the case that even though it was not a success in theaters, Fight Club really kind of set a new tone of like dude speak and, you know, a certain kind of male ego expressing itself in the culture and feeling victimized by the culture that I think has continued to reverberate through the social media era.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
That poster on the wall of some of the worst guys I ever hooked up with.
Exactly. You see that bar of soap, you turn around and leave.
Oh yeah, now you gotta go. Drea?
I would say 1995's Clueless.
Oh, as if.
Clueless gave us a whole new vernacular. It gave us fashion, quotes for days. It really allowed us to finally all want that aspirational crush on a stepbrother that really cinema had been begging for.
So wrong, but so right. Mm.
Right? Like, we were really all rooting for her to get with her stepbrother. And why not? Because it's Paul Rudd.
What's with you?
What do you mean?
You're so quiet.
Like, it launched 1,000 ships of stars. Everybody knows one line now of the song Rolling with the Homies. Like, what is not to love about Clueless? Find me someone who hasn't dreamt of getting a yellow plaid little suit set, and I'll find you a liar.
Damn right.
I love Clueless, but I do remember even at the time, like being like, is no one else noticing this about their, I mean, I know that they're not blood relations, but no one seems to have a problem with it at all.
He's playing someone who was raised, the Austin character was raised in like the neighboring estate. So it's someone she'd known her whole life, was not related to her by marriage or otherwise.
Okay. Dan McCoy, how about you?
I think this is less groundbreaking than more just like trend-setting in that it collaged a bunch of stuff that we hadn't really seen put together before, in that Pulp Fiction from 94 like brought this sort of humor and glibness to a pulp crime story in a way that, you know, is not utterly new, but was but felt very trend-setting. Like, you couldn't, for like the next decade, you couldn't go to a video store without seeing a dozen knockoffs of people who are like, oh, I get it. You just make the crimes funny.
And you know what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in Paris?
They don't call it a quarter pounder with cheese?
Oh, man, they got the metric system. They wouldn't know what a quarter pounder is.
And what do they call it?
They call it a royale with cheese.
And And that's all they got from it. They didn't get any of the other skill.
The punchline is a gunshot.
Yeah.
Saw it the night it came out in New York City at the Angelica Theater. The subway roared underneath us and rumbled our seats.
Oh, wow.
During the shot of adrenaline scene.
For free?
And everyone, like literally everybody was like...
The original D-Box.
It was bad.
Or DX.
It was bad news, but I loved it, of course. Okay, to recap so far, we have Clueless, Fight Club, and finally, Pulp Fiction. Stay tuned for the complete list. Stick around for more show. Did you ever wonder how British people celebrate spring break? I do. So I'll catch up with Ella McLeod, John Luke Roberts, Ella Huber, and Caroline Roper. All right, so listen, we do think of you often in the UK as a bit more reserved. Who are some of the most notorious UK party figures? Who are the party people?
Timmy Mallett. He had a hammer and he'd hit you on the head, and he had a hit with the song Teeny Weeny Itsy Bitsy Yellow Polka Dot Bikini. That's our party. That's our party guy.
Okay.
Who did the song Agadoo?
That would be Black Lace.
That's a classic. I think a lot of our partiers are just, unfortunately, just bad people now. You know, I think like Russell Brand was a big
yes!
one.
Sure.
But I think of him as American now. He's true. Been there for long enough.
So that... true. He's your problem.
Yeah, that's a real good point.
I would say anyone like associated with like Love Island or like, do you know what I mean? Like they come out of the island and then they
do the Towie group.
And they do the like uni freshers circuit where they do like club appearances at dodgy nightclubs where they like party with 18-year-olds, which, you know.
No. The Chuckle Brothers did the university tour. Just putting that out there.
I'm sorry, who are the Chuckle Brothers?
Oh, you can work it out.
No, I can't.
The lore is too deep now. It's so deep. They're just a kid. They're a duo for kids' TV kind of presenters for a show. And they had a bit where they would hold something and they'd pass it back and forward to each other and go, to you, to me, to you, to me. And that was the height of children's British humour.
Well, the Reds got the most wrappers off, so that means the Reds won the game and they go first in the main game of To Me, To You. Let's go back to the ball.
But also they come from the sort of Blackpool Working Men's Club comedy tradition.
So they're very much...
And also they have two brothers who are also a less successful double act.
Oh, that's
There's two Chuckle Brothers who aren't in the Chuckle Brothers. They're other brothers.
Oh,
but
I
also one of the
this.
Chuckle Brothers is now dead, which is sad.
Yeah. Oh,
that was really sad.
Which set of the Chuckle Brothers died?
No, the main Chuckle Brothers. The other ones didn't get the Chuckle name. They had to, I don't know which name they took.
Yeah. But the main Chuckle Brother that died basically got like a state funeral. Like, I honestly haven't seen that kind of turnout for anyone but like the Queen. Like,
Q was extraordinary.
It was nice.
But these characters, these people would often end up at like freshers events or at club nights for students, and they would have like a DJ set or something like that, or just like a meet and greet in a club.
Yeah.
Howard from the Halifax.
Yeah.
The guy Hodor from Game of Thrones did the freshers circuit.
Yeah.
And he came to my uni and we saw him like tearing it up.
I saw Dick and Dom.
That's a good one. That's a good booking. That's
Dick
a good booking.
Dom is good. That's
doing that. This is another children's duo presenter team. Apparently, we love them DJing. We love them DJing.
Tracy Beaker, Danny Harmon. Did as well.
Dick and Dom were famous for going into public places and yelling like bogeys really loudly. That was like their shit. Remember?
Wow, that was good. Are we selling the UK to you? The UK like club scene?
I feel like just before we entirely move off the subject, we do need to give a special shout out to Sunsex and Suspicious Parents. I think it's really important that we acknowledge the existence of that show. So Sunsex and Suspicious Parents is a reality entertainment show that follows a different like group of 18-year-old school leavers every episode. And they're going to one of these like terrible like Zante Magaluf type holidays, and they're like off to go wild for the first time, and what they don't know is that their parents are, so they think they're being filmed for like some documentary, and obviously I don't know, they're too drunk or stupid to question
yeah.
the the wisdom of all of their antics being captured. But anyway, but what they don't know is that their parents actually on the holiday, just in a different room the whole time, watching the shenanigans they get up to. And then they come out at the end and it's always some mother who thinks her like precious baby golden boy is an angel. And then he, you know, sleeps with 16 girls and says fairly derogatory things about them. And she cries and is like, I raised you better than this. It's great television. It's great.
Really wow. Classic. Oh, yes.
My YouTube to watch list is growing, growing and growing.
You're going to have a great time.
I'm having something about this context is giving me a really disassociative experience when I know all these cultural things. This is my British culture. But as I'm hearing them through and I'm looking at you, Dave, I'm feeling like so alienated. I can't believe that this is all true. This is all true, though. It's all true.
And that's the thing. And like, I'm enough of an Anglophile to know black lace did aga do. There's no reason for me to know that. And yet all of this stuff is a level deeper than anything.
Even black lace have forgotten.
I have certainly. I also like, I have so many questions about what that song means or is or what Push Pineapple indicates. And it's for next year's Max Fun Drive for sure. But for now, let's check back in with Hal.
We're having a great time here at the 90s Pop Culture Appreciation Cabana. I'm here with Austin Taylor. We've already seen a couple come up and reenact one of Ross and Rachel's breakups. And another guy who wandered in from the street was already reciting most of 1992's Darkman, the Sam Raimi film. Austin, tell us about the fun you're having and some of the stuff you've seen today.
No, it's been great. It's been wild. Someone came in and they did an entire recreation of the Ninja Turtles apartment fight scene. They had four dudes dressed as turtles, like 15 guys as ninjas. It was nuts. They did set the building on fire, but we put it out. It's fine now. It's good. We're good now.
Yeah, only three people went to the hospital. We call that a good time here in the cabana.
Hell yeah, brother.
Coming up to the stage now, Sierra Cotto. Welcome, Sierra.
I like big butts, and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny that when a girl walks in with an itty-bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung.
Let's go now to J. Keith Van Stratton at the Hard Rock Cafe in Hollywood. Which Max Fun host will prevail in our music quiz spectacular? Eurovangelist Jeremy Bent? Sleeping with Celebrities and Depression Mode host John Moe? Or Primer's Christian Duenas?
All right, we're going to begin. I'm going to ask a question, and if you know the answer, say the first word in your show name. John, you'll have to choose one of your two shows, and the first one to get the answer correct gets the answer correct. So let's start by practicing. Let's get your buzz-in words. Christian, go ahead.
Primer.
And Jeremy?
I guess I'll say Euro.
And John?
Depresh.
Okay, those are your buzzer sounds. Here we begin with the first question. Between 1990 and 1999, over 30 hip-hop albums reached number one on the Billboard 200 chart. The first one to do so in the span was the album Please Hammer, Don't Hurt Him, which featured what number one hit song?
Depresh.
Depresh.
Can't touch this. You can't touch this.
You can't touch this. You did add the letter U, which does make it correct. Yes, that is a point for John Moe. Very good. We're on our way. All right, here's our second question. The movie Midnight Run has a rich and driving blues-based score composed by a Grammy and Emmy winner known for his frequent musical collaborations with Tim Burton and his work with the band Oingo Boingo. Who is it?
Euro.
Primer.
Ooh, I think I hit Euro first. Euro, Jeremy, go ahead.
That is Danny Elfman, I believe.
That is Danny Elfman. Jeremy is on the board with a point. Speaking of music in movies, the movie Dirty Dancing didn't just do well at the box office, it also won an Academy Award for what song?
Euro.
Depresh.
I've had the time of my life.
I know you have, but what is the answer to this question?
And it I've is never both. Felt this way before.
Nor have I, John. Never felt this way. All right, there's a point for
it's the truth.
It's the truth. Yes, we could keep going, and yet we shall not.
All right. We owe it all to you, JK.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, baby.
Hey, don't put me in a corner in your Zoom window. I want to be right in the center. Here is your next question. Just because you start out playing loud rock and roll in a garage doesn't mean you can't have a long career with other styles of music. Take the lead singer of the band Them, who had a hit with the garage rock classic Gloria, but later had even bigger hits. Who was this singer and songwriter of Gloria?
Depresh
in right away. John?
Van Morrison.
Van Morrison is correct. Yeah. Van Morrison, of course, with the hits Domino, Tupelo Honey, and Brown Eyed Girl, among others. A popular song on the Who album, Who's Next, is Behind Blue Eyes, which could have been about any three of the blue-eyed members of the band, but probably not about which member who had brown eyes and played drums.
Euro.
I heard Euro first.
Keith Moon.
Keith Moon is correct, and we're back on track. We did an entire segment on that album on Go Fact Yourself. All right, let's ask about Prince from Minnesota. So, John, no pressure.
Uh-oh.
Oh boy.
The first Prince song to reach Billboard's Hot 100 was 1978's Soft and Wet. The next one to make the charts hit number 11 in 1979. The lyrics of the song begin, "I ain't got no money. I ain't like those other guys you hang around." What is the name Euro. Of this hit song? Euro.
I want to be your lover.
Thank you so much, Jeremy. But no, yes, that is the correct answer as well.
Trapped again.
Trapped again. I did not do those on purpose, but it is kind of fun to have it. All right, here is another Prince song. After this, we'll get a score recap as we head into the next section of questions. Prince wrote some amazing lyrics on the album Purple Rain, but not all of them have been heard correctly. In a 2009 interview, Prince said that he had seen some strange rewrites of his lyrics, including the opening line of When Doves Cry as, "Dig, if you will, a picture of me, Marvin Gaye, and the kids." What is the correct opening line of this song? Depressed, right away.
Dig, if you will, a picture of me and you engaged in a kiss.
That is not exactly correct. Oh. Christian or Jeremy, do you want to see if you can get it exactly right? I'm guessing by the silence you do not. No, I think we'll give a half a point to John. It's dig, if you will, a picture of you and I engaged in a kiss. Not
I was like, you. I think he got it, but no. Yeah.
Good grammar, Prince.
Yeah, so that was all very important. Of course, by I, he meant the picture of an eye. And yes, by you, he meant the letter U.
He meant the letter U.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kiss, the rock band Kiss.
Of course. Let's see what the scores are as we head into this next round of
questions. We don't need to look at the scores.
The scores currently are Christian with the bronze medal of 0 correct answers, Jeremy with 3, and John just ahead with 3.5. So it still is anyone's game, technically. All right, let's move on to our next question. This one is about hip-hop. Only one hip-hop artist had 3 albums reach number 1 on the Billboard 200 charts in the 1990s. Tupac Shakur, a.k.a. Tupac, a.k.a. Machiavelli. What were any one of those 3 chart-topping albums?
Primer?
Primer.
All Eyes on Me?
That is correct, and Christian from Primer is on the board.
On the board.
The Finally. Others are Me Against the World and The Don Killuminati, The 7-Day Theory. All right, here's another one. James Brown was known as the King of Soul, but so was Otis Redding, who wrote what song that was reinterpreted and made a Billboard hit for the undisputed Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin?
Depresh,
trying to add to the lead.
Respect.
Thank you again, but no. Yes, respect is the answer, and respect for your knowledge of soul music. Oh, it couldn't be a show on Max Fun without mentioning Weird Al, so here we go. Weird Al Yankovic recorded several parodies of Michael Jackson's songs, all with Michael's blessing. But there was one song that Al wanted to record that Michael did not want him to. What was the song that Michael thought was too important to be parodied? Euro.
Black and White.
Not quite correct. Oh. Does anyone want to jump in and steal?
Black or White.
Christian, okay. He's giving it to you.
Good. Primer. Black or White.
That is correct. Let's give a half a point to each one. I think Jeremy set you up for that.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yes, wrong conjunction. All right, let's go back to hip-hop. There was a big rivalry between East Coast and West Coast hip-hop artists in the 1990s, and it was on display on live TV one night in New York in 1995 when performers dissed other artists, producers, and even the audience. At what award ceremony did this escalation take place? Depresh, John Moe.
BET Awards.
That is incorrect. Christian or Jeremy?
Primer. Is it the Source Awards?
It is the Source Awards. A nice steal for Primer. The scores can only be different than they were before. Very curious to see the recap as we head into the final few. Oh, the scores really have changed. We've got Christian now with 2.5, Jeremy with 3.5, and John with 4.5. Very, very close. And the stakes are so high, I forgot to mention what they are. The Beatles' longest studio song is on their longest album. Name either the song or the album.
Primer. The White Album, self-titled.
The White Album, self-titled, is correct. That is the longest album. Christian, moving now into a tie for second place. Revolution Number 9, the longest studio song by length. Finish this lyric from Hamilton about the Federalist Papers. John Jay got sick after writing 5. James Madison wrote 29. Hamilton wrote...
Euro.
Euro.
The other 51.
I'm sorry, can you say it, though, as as it said in the show?
The other 51!
Thank you so much. We're going to give you a bonus half point for that, Jeremy.
Thank you.
All right, here's your next question. Billy Joel's first Billboard number one hit was a single from the Billboard number one album, Glass Houses, in which he inquires about what's wrong with the clothes he's wearing. What is the name of this song?
Depression.
Depression. I listened to a lot of Billy Joel when I was depressed, too.
Yeah, no, I'm just narrating my mood at having to listen to Billy Joel music. Still rock and roll to me.
Not exactly. Do you want to give another
it's
chance?
It's still rock and roll to
me? That is correct. Yes, we must have our contraction. Yes. We are contractually obligated for that contraction. Very nice. In the 2020s, she received a Kennedy Center Honors. In the 2010s, she won an Emmy for producing. In the 2000s, she was nominated for an Oscar for acting. And in the 1990s, she won a Grammy for rapping. Who is this New Jersey-born sensation?
Euro?
Euro.
Is this Cher?
It is not Cher. No, not the rapping Grammy that we were looking for.
Depresh?
Depresh.
Queen Latifah?
Yes, that is correct. She won her Grammy for rapping on UNITY, and that spells unity. All right, here's another question regarding California and music. The Aquabats got their start in California, just like other well-known ska bands like Save Ferris, Real Big Fish, The Hippos, and No Doubt. In what county did all these bands come from?
Primer.
Primer.
Orange County, baby.
Orange County, that is correct, baby. They Might Be Giants were nominated for a Tony Award for a song they wrote for a Broadway musical about what absorbent animated character?
Euro.
Euro, I heard first.
I believe that's SpongeBob SquarePants.
That is correct. Oh, we're getting down to just our last few questions. Let's see if we can get a score update again. Oh, here we go. Oh, my gosh. I think we're just down to our last two or three questions. And the scores, well, they could be closer. I was going to say they could not be closer, but they are pretty close. We've got Christian with a very respectable 4.5, Jeremy with an even more respectable 6, and John ahead just with half a point at 6.5. Who will win the shrimp? We'll find out after these two questions. The band Chicago earned a Grammy nomination for contributing one song to what famine relief album?
Depresh.
Euro.
Depresh. Got in first.
USA for Africa.
More specifically?
We Are the World.
That is correct. And you're adding to your lead, John Moe, now.
I want that shrimp.
Yeah.
I haven't eaten in 48 hours.
This man's hungry.
Okay, this will be your final question. This will determine maybe who gets second place. All right, here's your final question of the game. And you know what? This will be worth 3 points, which will decide the game. For 3 points, what jazz fusion legend is a noted Scientologist contributing to Space Jazz, the soundtrack of the book Battlefield Earth? John, for the win.
Chick Corea.
Chick Corea is correct. Congratulations, John Moe. You Thank win you. The shrimp.
Oh, I'm going to share it with everybody.
Thank wow. you. I should point out, I don't eat shrimp, and I might not even want shrimp that's been sent to me from Minnesota, but we appreciate the effort so much. All right, well, that does it for us here at the Hard Rock Cafe at the iconic Sunset Strip. And while you're partying, hey, everybody, remember, wear sunscreen, and please stay hydrated and stay safe. I don't know what's coming up after this, but I know you won't want to miss it. Here on Maximum Fun, go to MaximumFun.org/join and support all of these wonderful shows in the Max Fun Tribe. I'm J. Keith Van Stratton. See you later.
MFD Spring Break 2025. I am here in Daytona Beach on the Bud Ice Blood Donation Stage with Justin and Clint McElroy.
Zach, pick that bag up, man. It's leaking everywhere.
Oh, God. Yeah, if we could.
Dave, watch where you're stepping, pal. Oh, wow. That'll come right out with a little vinegar. Hey, Dave, thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much for having me. Justin, Clint McElroy, how are you doing?
I'm much better now. Thank you very much. I'm back in my old hometown, Daytona Beach.
There it is. Must feel good to be home.
It is. It's good to be home because all my stuff's here.
Yeah. You know, and I really want to thank both of you guys for bringing some civic and social responsibility to spring break and urging people to donate blood here on the beach. Now, what made you decide to take this step this year?
Well, I have been reading up a lot on the effects of young blood on older adults, and that is so important to the Max Fun Drive Network that I want to keep him going just as long as possible. So we have been asking all of our Max Fun family today to come in here, do their part, and donate a pint of their young, virile blood for me to pump into my dad, Clint McElroy.
Yeah, just a big old transfusion. That's yeah. And I've come up with a bunch of slogans, too.
Oh, let's hear it.
Don't be a negative person.
Oh.
Give me your blood. Be positive that it won't hurt.
Right. And give me your blood. It says at the bottom of all of them, and give me your blood.
Right. Blood, it's not just for breakfast anymore. I'm workshopping that one. We're still coming along.
So, yeah, we appreciate everybody, Dave. It's been a great success so far.
Clint, you look fantastic. Your skin is absolutely glowing. How many pints of young blood have you had today?
I've had 7, six of them voluntarily.
Wow. Yeah, which is great for Dad, a huge record. We have just been so appreciative of everybody donating to the Max Fun Drive, and they're saying, I wish I could do more. And the truth is, you could tell a friend. You know, you could do a little bit of a boost to your donation. You could do any of that stuff. Or you could come in here and give my dad a pint of your blood, you know?
Some of your blood. Some of your blood. Now, and I'm going to tell you, it is a windy day here on the beach. Mm-hmm. We are getting a good amount of sand in our eyes and mouths. Have you had any hygiene issues?
I smelled a hygiene thing coming. Thank you, Dan. Well, you never fail to disappoint. Dad, go ahead.
Just the usual. You know, you get the gritty in the eyes, and that keeps you from doing the gritty.
Yeah. But it doesn't bother you if you have grit, and that's what my dad has. He could take a little dirt. You know what? He's not picky about types either, Dave. Any type, you know, whatever you got, Dad is ready and willing.
You got O?
Got O?
You got AB?
AB?
I've got an adapter for all of them. So bring it on. I will tell you this, the sand is really kind of messing with my obligatory Dracula costume that I always wear at blood drives. And some people get the gag. Most don't.
Yeah, that's okay. It's a good, as long as the blood keeps flowing, doesn't matter to us.
I feel the need for bleed. That's me.
Now, when I heard that there was going to be a blood donation area here at Spring Break, I will tell you that my brain went to a more traditional, a more familiar blood drive kind of a situation where some of the blood might go to people who have been, let's say, in accidents and need blood. If you find yourself with any extra pints at the end of the day, is it possible that some of these might make their way to accident victims or people in surgery?
Oh, Dave, this is such a sensitive topic.
Sweethearted Dave.
Yeah, just to start out, Dave, for starters, it's never too early to start cycling out blood. I am in my mid-40s, but a lot of these folks have 10, 20 years my junior, you know, so I would love to just top off a little bit on the vitality, even though I'm obviously much more healthy than my dad. So that is any extra blood I will be sort of taking on myself. So
do you think it's bad optics to not, you know, share? I mean, because I don't know. I mean, I'm 7.
Well,
in.
we have been, as a prize to all donors, we've been giving them to address to other blood drives that are benefiting the public. So that has been right. I've been offering that. They do have to wait some period of time for the blood to. We're not scientists here in the tent, but the blood does need to make some more of it.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed out. You are not scientists here at this blood donation tent. Clint, I gotta say, your shirt is off, your abs are tight, your tits are right, you are looking like a man of 22. How do you feel?
Like a man of 69. This is all the filter. This is all the filter I've got on the camera. If I were to switch over, I would look like Gary Oldman at the end of the Dracula movie.
It's a lot of Dracula-themed content, Dad. I'm worried the blood is starting to go to your brain a little bit.
Oh, yeah, that's the good time.
Yeah, that's...
And when
that's,
it goes to your brain, like, yeah. Yahoo!
I wish
you get the taste for it, and it's, yeah. It's never
But thank
enough.
You for the compliments, Dave. I think I look pretty sharp.
Yeah.
I only wish people could see how good I look.
Now, one benefit to donating blood, especially at Spring Break, is that you get buzzed a little bit quicker. Have you used that in any of your marketing material?
Yeah, absolutely, Dave. It's a killer competitive advantage for us. Less blood means more fun. That's what we say here. And we actually have been filling most of our blood recreating Twinkies. It's important to eat sugar after you donate blood. I've seen that on TV, so that is something we've been doing here. But we are putting alcoholic cream into the Twinkies just to keep it.
I'm sorry,
you
couldn't mention it. We have a
sorry,
wide
wait, wait,
variety
Dad,
of
Dad
snacks.
Dave wanted to ask a clarifying question about
the alcoholic
Twinkies.
Oh, yes, Dave, I'm sorry.
Twinkies.
You're putting what kind of cream in the Twinkies?
So it's a vodka cream, Dave. But it it's only for folks who are interested in participating. Obviously, you can get rum filled Twinkies or, you know, whatever sort of liqueur you want.
I see.
Of legal age.
Of legal age.
Which here in Daytona Beach is 14. Sorry.
Okay. 14. Yes, we did bump it up last year. Thanks, folks. Appreciate Smart. That. That was the right move. It was a hard fight, but 14's the right call, Daytona Beach. Good job.
But the other snacks we have are also aimed towards buffing you up, building you up.
Right.
We've got Screaming Yellow Zonkers.
Yeah, protein.
We've got
a lot of protein.
Space food sticks. We've got Kugel.
Dad got that dehydrated astronaut ice cream. That's been a big hit today. We're moving a lot of units of that. People are starving after they give blood, and they're willing to pay any price for these snacks. So we've been doing huge business there, too.
Oh, so the snacks are not free. They need to be purchased after.
You assume the snacks are free in much the same way you assume the blood's going to charity. You've really highlighted our killer competitive advantage here, Dave. People are going to assume we're doing a lot of great stuff that we are not anywhere in the ballpark.
Your finger is on the pulse of America in 2020.
And ironically, yes.
Yeah, yeah, just to find the blood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what do you have on your agenda once we wrap things up here at the Blood Donation Tent? What other Spring Break activities?
I'm changing my name because nothing here that I've done today is going to be favorable in the eyes of John Q. Law. So I'm going to go on the lam. I'm going to get out of here, go start a fresh life for myself, Dave.
Clint? I'm going to clean all the grit out of places where there should not be grit or sand. Mm-hmm. And then if there's any time, I might, I don't know, smurf. I'm going to smurf a little bit on my smurf board.
Dad, actually, this is still a family show. I watch
with
the
all
language,
this,
okay, pal?
With all this young blood, maybe I'll try skimboarding, you know, where you toss it and then you jump on it and fall.
It's a young people activity.
You know, honestly, all I'm thinking in my head is, what if this is how we find out Clint McAdoo has been Papa Smurf this whole time?
Yeah, I know.
What if it was just a slip and suddenly it was like, wait a minute. It's like the end of The Usual Suspects. It all comes together.
I would love to believe
Papa Smurf was Clint McElroy this whole time.
I would love to believe that's true, Dave. That fire hose of residuals, I would not be here, my man. I will guarantee you that. I would be living in an island in the Balkans. I don't even know if the Balkans has islands, but that's what I'd be doing, living off that Papa Smurf money. I would have killed
only one way to find
ago.
Out. Get yourselves there. And if you're in Daytona Beach, get yourself here to the Bud Ice blood donation. Well, the tent has blown away, so we're kind of just more standing on a beach at this stage. But come on down. Clint needs your blood. Justin merely wants it. And we'll be back with more MFD Spring Break 2025. We're channeling the 90s this MFD Spring Break. Drea, Alonzo, and Dan are compiling a list of their picks for the most iconic or culturally impactful movies of the 90s. So far, we have Clueless, Fight Club, and finally, Pulp Fiction. All right, next on the list, Alonzo.
I would be remiss based on my personal brand to not bring up the new queer cinema and all this. If I had to pick one, though, I think I'm going to go with 1994's Go Fish, because that is a movie that I think represents the sort of underground zero budget aesthetic of the initial wave of new queer cinema movies, but also segues us into that period where indie distributors realized, oh, if these movies are funny and they have a love story, we could actually maybe sell tickets to some straight people.
We have totally different tastes in women.
Are you saying I don't have discriminating tastes in women? I was a dyke when you were still in diapers, kiddo.
To me, it kind of feels like this tipping point between like your sort of Greg Araki, you know, Todd Haynes directing Poison aesthetic, and then your later, you know, like Trick and All Over the Guy and Jeffrey and those movies that were very much kind of pitched at a somewhat wider audience than just angry queer urbanites. And it still holds up, you know, 30 plus years later. It's still super charming and a lot of fun and one of my favorite queer films. So yeah, go fish.
What else?
Right at the start of the 90s, 91, Silence of the Lambs, you know, draws on a lot of stuff that came before, but I think really created the serial killer movie as it exists now, sort of. And unfortunately, on the other, like, created the idea of, like, the brilliant serial killer.
And how is young Josh and the lovely Molly? They're always in my thoughts, you know. You will not persuade me with appeals to my intellectual vanity.
Rather than the serial killer who's just a loser in a basement who lost his empathy somewhere along the way. So many movies owe so much of their DNA to
it. Yeah. And finally, Drea?
All right, I'm going to say 1998's Rushmore. It's Wes Anderson's second film, but for a lot of people, this was the breakthrough. They maybe didn't make it to Bottle Rocket. Rushmore, color, it introduced you to what's become a very iconic and consistent color palette, framing device. Like, his visual storytelling, his cinematic language is established in Rushmore. And that also includes very vibrant yet deadpan characters like Max Fisher, which is Jason Schwartzman. Memorable, nerdy, complicated, heartbreaking, all sorts of wonderful things. Started the partnership with Bill Murray that's continued through many films. Obviously, Owen Wilson popping up again. It's also quotable, but like my favorite quote from that one would be when he sees Luke Wilson in his scrubs.
I like your nurse's uniform, guy.
These are OR scrubs.
Oh, are they?
Which is something I say to people all the time and no one understands. I'm quoting something.
That's a big line in this house. Oh, are they?
Yeah.
And there you have it. I, for one, am looking forward to rewatching all of these films in the Orville Redenbacher Extreme Amounts of Movie Theater Butter Microwave Popcorn Screening Room. Nope. Y'all, I have just gotten word that Secret Histories of Nerd Mysteries Austin Taylor has just dropped by the 90s Pop Culture Appreciation Cabana. Let's take a look.
Because maybe you're going to be the one that saves me. And after all, you're my Wonderwall.
What a way to kick off MFD Spring Break 2025. We have so many exciting things in store this next couple of weeks, and you can stay on top of it all at MaximumFun.org. And again, for all of you listening and watching at home, it's very easy to support your favorite Max Fun shows. Just go to MaximumFun.org/donate. And big thanks to all the hosts who took part in the MFD Spring Break 2025 Spectacular. Jeremy Bent, Oscar Montoya, Dimitri Pompei, Tom Lum, Ellen Weatherford, Alex Schmidt, Brenda Snell, Drea Clark, Alonzo Duralde, Dan McCoy, Jordan Morris, Manolo Moreno, Ella Hubber, Caroline Roper, Ella McLeod, John Luke Roberts, Justin McElroy, Clint McElroy, Mike Cabalon, Sierra Cato, Hal Lublin, Danielle Radford, John Moe, Christian Duenas, Christian Duguay. We'll see you all at the beach.
Hey, Dave, if you're planning on coming back this way, I beg that you not. All this young blood has driven my dad insane, and he's super strong. He is uprooting Dad, put it down! Put it down!
To the extreme!
No! Quick, Dad!
Oh, dudes!
Dad, that is Jesse Thorne. He is a hero here. Put him down!
All right. I just love his ascot.